Next. So I'm moving on to the next station, Community Safety Initiative. This is just an image of Annette. There's a translator and then a patient. Next image. This is Linda Hartzler. She's working on some of the forms. Next page. Now the next station are the examiners. Here's two of our team members on this, a woman named Emily and a woman named Rachel. We see common stuff. Common things commonly occur throughout the world. Sore throats, earaches. Next page. I wanted to tell a brief story about this one. There's always some challenges that arrive. This young child came in with a laceration, a bad, nasty cut around the back of the ankle, that foot that's sticking out down there. I don't know if you can see, but see the flops she's wearing, those shoes, and see the dirt they walk around in? That cut was really deep, and I mean, it was absolutely filthy. And part of what happens on these trips, you have to be very adaptable and kind of think on the fly and come up with novel solutions. And this may not seem that novel, but there's some principles important in wound care. Basically, just took a Ziploc bag, poured some of our drinking water into it. We carry in our equipment some iodine wipes, so I had a sanitizing source, just squeezed the iodine into the water, and then taped it up on that foot and let her wear that for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And it softens all the gunk that's accumulated around that cut. And then the next image on the right side, we're starting to prepare the field to do the stitching, the laceration repair. Emily's one of the workers there. She was my first assistant, so to speak, on that. This reminds me of another thing I need to comment about. This team was really a miracle team of workers. They were experienced. Kelly, my friend, and her daughters, Rachel, they're really good people, and they're very experienced from ER work and ICU work, and my goodness, it's good to have their help. Next page. This is Kelly. She's dealing with a common thing, foot problems, skin rashes, etc. This woman had some what looks like Crocs on, but virtually everybody had open-toed flops. Next image. This is an example of sort of the unexpected that shows up. There were multiple of these, and I think they're burns that they have no doubt some kind of a local care. Unfortunately, that kind of thing is not one we can do a whole lot. We have to assess, make sure it isn't already infected, but that child really needed a skin graft to get that to heal. It would probably slowly but surely heal over a year's time maybe, but I don't know if a surgeon here could maybe give guidance on what to do, but we tried to teach them on wound care, and there's a lot of educating that goes on. Next. I need to tell a story about this one. This is the other really difficult situation we ran into. That looks scary. I might explain. That's basically to get access, venous access, and that baby showed up the very beginning of our first day. It was in respiratory distress. It was not taking things by mouth. It had fever. It basically had pneumonia, and I thought I'd show this image. Poor Paige there, she kind of knew what was going to happen, I think. We did all we could. We gave IV fluids and gave IV antibiotics. We had to make a decision as a team, and this is one of the things we run into with the really crisis situations is how far can we go to help. This child, we ended up just pooling funds out of our own resources to call an ambulance, and I think it was, I don't remember how much, maybe $100 American dollars, but we called the ambulance so they could take to the real hospital where they could manage it. And it took, I think, 2 hours for the ambulance to arrive. We're trying to manage this. This, by the way, was on a day where we saw, I believe it was 980 people. It was just brutal. But it was really difficult, and I'll come back to some of the impact, but we only unfortunately got word a couple hours after the ambulance left that baby died, and it was just really difficult. Next. So the next station after examiners goes on to nutrition. This is where the deworming and the vitamins are administered. The deworming pills that we give can be very bitter, so that role is not always easy. It's where we sometimes leverage kids by giving them a little piece of candy or something to get them to swallow it. Next. Before I start this, this is a time-lapse image. It kind of captures some of what goes on in pharmacy. This was at the end of our second day, towards the very end. It captures another thing that occurs on these trips. It's very, very collaborative. The examiners were basically done, but all the people that needed to go through pharmacy were lined up, and pharmacy gets just overwhelmed. So naturally, we all kick in and try to help. So go ahead and start that. I know that's hard to sort out, but it very much feels like that speed a lot of the time. And then this image is also of the last of the pharmacy station. That's my wife and I. The suitcases there are an example. I failed to mention this early on, but part of the medical mission trip challenge is we generally have to bring all of our medicines with us, which we purchase while in the U.S. from a company in the U.S. that allows us to purchase for export only. This has to do with some of the things that are associated with the pharmaceutical industry and whatnot. But we, therefore, all have one personal bag of that size with a generally 50-pound limit. And then we all have a second bag that we're responsible for, which is, you know, equipment and medicines. That's not always easy, carrying all that luggage. And then one, everybody has a carry-on, typically. That image I just had to show partly to remind myself to tell my wife I love her. I think she may be watching this stream. One of the things that's fun about when you get random shots like this that are not professional is you get random stuff showing up. See the guy in the back there in the yellow looking towards us? I don't know if you can make it out, but looks like he's thinking too much PDA, right? Or get to work or something like that. I promise you he is not doing that. That's Pastor Michael. It just is a random thing. Okay, next image. And then the last station is spiritual counseling. This is sort of what it's like. It's set off separately. They get more one-on-one and try to spend time with the individuals. Next image. I'm moving on to try to show you where our second location was. This seems to be out of sequence, and unfortunately the image is not real legible. But in the upper left, you can see an M, maybe. Actually, it's the text that's in the farthest upper left. Maroa is the name of it. For perspective, see where Mount Kilimanjaro is there, and that little blue line I showed you early on, it went across to the left and then north, and Kitimbiene would be off the left edge of this image, but the second one was up there at that Maroa. Next. I took this, you know, I don't think we have time. I probably ought to skip this one. This is just an image of the countryside and shows the thorns. They fence their animals using plants. It's just very efficient. Look at those thorns. A lot of agave and a lot of thorns. And this was the second location where that town called Maroa was. Looking to the, it's okay, go ahead and move forward. This is just a fun shot of a termite hill that I took in that second location. Next image. And then just for curiosity, I got up on top of it and looked down, take a picture of it. The locals tell you, don't do that because they can break and you can fall in, and I don't know it. You know, you can kind of test the waters, but I had to take a shot like that because I thought people might be curious, and I was curious. So this is a shot just of the countryside. It's just a beautiful country, and you can see the fencing with the agaves and those thorny plants. Next image. This was towards the end, and this might be more moving to me, but look real closely. Can you see the two sets of eyes there? At the end of the day, these kids, they just really want to play. They just want to be loved. And when the individuals have time, we'll interact with the kids and play with them. They squeeze themselves into the picture, and I thought, good, that's really neat. This kind of changes the tone of this trip, and I'll try to explain why. It's, again, something that was learned over time about medical mission trips. I kind of alluded to this already, or even overtly mentioned. They can be very emotionally trying trips. You see some very sad things and hear a lot of difficult lives. And the reason I show this is part of the flow in our strategy is at the end of a trip, we try to do something fun. It's a one-day, last-day in the country situation, and it's to sort of process, to prepare to return to the U.S. Our country, any trip I've been on, there's oftentimes a little bit of a sense of guilt when people return. I know Will has been to Mexico. I was speaking with him earlier today about all of this, and I didn't ask him about this, but I have a feeling he'd recognize it. There's a little sense of guilt over how blessed we are, how much we have, how easy things are and can be for us. So this leads up to part of the strategy in our medical mission trips where we decompress and try to do something fun. On this particular trip, it got so compressed from the front end because we lost 2 days. We usually are in clinic seeing patients for 5 days at 2 different sites, constantly on the go, you know, very tired. We wanted to do a 5th day. Our team, who had all been on trips before, all agreed. Kelly asked if we were willing to give up our fun day, but the locals said, but it's Sunday. And they said, we can't on Sunday. And so, you know, we respected that, thought, good. And anyway, that did allow us time to have a fun day. This is supposed to be more like eye candy on this, just to show you all something fun at the end, because I probably am losing engagement. The place we went to is called the Tarangire. It's a place for safari. You'll notice up there the big green, that's the Serengeti. It's very close to that area. That's where we were located. Next image. This one is where we lodged that night. We had 1 night to stay at this place. I don't know if you can read the sign there. I believe it says, all animals here are wild, please be very careful, or something of that nature. That was really interesting because, remember, there's no fences. The people that run this place, they said, oh yeah, the animals walk through here at night. And interestingly, one of our team members couldn't sleep very well, and she stayed up. She actually recorded animal noise during the night. I don't have that recording. But anyway, oh wait, can you go back? See that wild animal there holding the red backpack? That's my wife. And I'll say right now, Jean, I love you just the way you are. So we're going on safari here. This is what the vehicles are like. They're Land Rovers, and they actually really use that snorkel device on the bottom right so they can go in the water. Next image. This was just a beautiful scene. Those plants actually grow commonly in Arizona, believe it or not, but they don't grow like that. And this is what's called a tsetse fly. I don't know how interesting it is to you all, but the biologists might be intrigued. That is very much like a horsefly. They spread sleeping sickness. It's a parasite in Africa. The darn things, golly, they were around on that safari, and the ranger said, well, let's get going early in the morning before the tsetse flies get out. There was one annoying some of us, and everybody, I think, got bit once, but oh well, I thought I'd show it because it's an interesting kind of a African horsefly is maybe way to think of it. This is very typical, saw lots and lots of elephants. That particular location, apparently during the dry season, we were there at the tail end of rainy season, so the grasses are real high, and it's harder to see animals, is what they told us. But the there are lots of elephants. Apparently there are thousands and thousands of elephants that are in that particular area. Next image. I wanted to show this. We're almost done, by the way. That is called a baobab tree, and it's hard to get the perspective on how its size. I don't have my laser printer. I mean my laser pointer to show. Well, anyway, I zoomed in because on that previous image, you could barely see that little creature there on that branch that goes off to the right. And this is a video I just wanted to show you to nearly finish things up here. Can you go ahead and start it? And then next image. So look real closely there. See that kind of a hole in the tree? That's a leopard, and those are really rare sightings out on safaris. So that was such a blessing to be able to see something so amazing. Anyway, the ranger told us that leopards commonly, and when they have their young, they are very mobile. They'll pick them up, move them around a lot. And he speculated with pretty high level of certainty that it had kittens down in that little hole of the tree. When we initially arrived in our vehicle, it was on the other branch, sticking out the other direction. But it kind of sensed us or smelled us eventually. It got up, walked around behind, laid down, and that image is it looking at its kittens, I think, is what he speculated. Next image. I think that's it. But I want to make a comment about, notice how I initially was presenting this, and maybe as humans we tend to think linear, the connect, go, grow. I think it's so interrelated. I was going to mention this safari stuff, which may not seem so relevant to this trip, but it is a time to grow. We reconnect with each other. We're all generally very exhausted. We reflect on the week. We process. It has a growing component. It makes us very, very thankful, that type of a thing. It's much appreciated by the leaders in our group when we can have something like that to recover before we fly out. And that particular day, we did the safari, then we drive to the airport. We had already had to go through a whole other process of getting current tests so we could arrive back to the U.S. We had to wait till like 11:30, get on a plane, and start the whole journey back. So it was a very, very long day, but it was a good way to end. I might also, developing workers, yeah, that's the last slide. Just leave that up there. Thank you. Developing workers, I'm sure there's many, many organizations like this, but I guess I really want to thank Pastor Redding for letting me come speak like this and share. It's, you know, I see the parallels in his mind why he even thought to invite me to come, the Connect, Go, Grow theme. We're an organization that is constantly looking for individuals. I wanted to share something about my friend Kelly, who I bet is watching right now or will watch it. She immediately says, oh, ask the congregation if they want to go on a trip. Have the church get a bunch of people together, and we'll work right along with them, and we'll go on a trip. And this is her nature. Anyway, you're welcome, Kelly. So thank you for the opportunity to share. And that was the end of the show.